We're holding on some Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. So in the Mishnah, we had a discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and then between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, about Machshirei Mitzvah, about things that are not part of the Mitzvah itself, in this case, the Korban Pesach, but there are things that would be also Derabbanan, and are you allowed to do them on Shabbos Erev Pesach in order to be able to bring the Korban Pesach? For example, carrying the animal to the Beis Mikdash, or biting off, or taking off by hand a wart on it, etc. So Rabbi Yeshua had made an argument in the Mishnah that you see that on Yom Tov various malachas are also, but you see that drabanans are still also. So you see that malachas can be mutter and drabanans are still also. And Rabbi Eliezer answers him, wait a minute, there you're talking about Rishus, here you're talking about a mitzvah, it's a separate thing. So that led us into the discussion yesterday that we said that Rabbi Yeshua holds that actually Simchas Yom Tov is a mitzvah as well. But now the Gemara is going to take it in another direction. Amar Rav Ashi, even according to Rabbi Eliezer's own svara, fine. We had Rabbi Yeshua was saying that Yom Tov is a mitzvah, and therefore it's a good mamotzinu, it's a good binyan av to say that just like on Yom Tov, certain daraisas are mutter, malachas eichel nefesh, but drabbanans are still aser, the same way you can say here when it comes to the Korban Pesach. Now again, Rabbi Eliezer shot that down, because he said, according to me, Yom Tov is only Rishus, whereas the Korban Pesach is a mitzvah. But Rav Ashi is saying, even if you take the view that Yom Tov is only a Rishus, Islay Pircha, nevertheless, you could still slug up Rabbi Eliezer on the basis of Rabbi Yeshua's comparison to Yom Tov, but not by using it as a mamotzinu, not by using it as a binyan av, that is the same as it is on Yom Tov, the same it is with the Korban Pesach. We can actually make a kavachomer from Yom Tov to the Korban Pesach. We would say, Umay Yom Tov shehitu by malachas harishus, madach on Yom Tov, where you're allowed to do certain malachas for rishus. Fine, let's go again. Even according to Rabbi Eliezer, that eating on Yom Tov is a rishus. But the fact is, we know that there are some malachas that are mutter for that purpose, malachas eichel nefesh. And yet, lo hitir shvus sheima. Yet the drabanans that go along with it are not mutter. Drabanans that could have been that could have been done before Yom Tov. Shabbos shlehita ba'ela malachas shal mitzvah. So then on Shabbos, let's make a kavachomer. On Shabbos, we are only allowed to do malachas for a mitzvah. Ein adin shleitata shvus she'ima. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that you can only be matir the shvus that goes along with it? So even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you could still even according to Rabbi Eliezer's svara, you could use Rabbi Yeshua's argument and say that therefore that should show that these drabanans shouldn't be mutter. So what would Rabbi Eliezer answer to that? He would say that's not a valid kavachomer. Shvus de mitzvah odiflei. He considers that being over on drabbanans to do a mitzvah is stronger than being over on drabbanans to do a rishus. So on Yom Tov, where the whole thing is only a rishus, then we're going to say we prevent you from doing various drabbanans. But Shabbos, given that you're being dercha Shabbos on Erev Pesach because of a mitzvah, then maybe we would say the chacham are not being gozer on a shvus at all. So he says it's not a matter of your argument, kavachomer, because obviously Shabbos is more stringent than Yom Tov. Yeah, but on the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer would answer back that mitzvah is stronger than Rishus, and therefore you don't have a good Kavachoyma here. Okay. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Omer Rabbi Eliezer, we have more of the discussion on the subject that we didn't have in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer argues as follows. He says, yes, we can use a Kavachoyma, but it would be a different Kavachoyma than what Rabbi Yeshua is saying. Umali im dochu machshire Shabbos shal achas shchita es Shabbos. Madach, you're telling me that things that have to do with the mitzvah, which are necessary for the mitzvah, but which take place after the shchita, are doicha Shabbos. Namely, for example, Rashi says in the Mishnah, we had michui krava. We talked about yesterday making a hole in the intestines to allow the waste to get out, or taking off the mucousy layer that's on the inside of it. Whatever the case, those are things that are after the shchita. And so at that point already, tzorach gavoya has been accomplished, and the things that are needed for the korban to be kosher is accomplished, but you're allowing, let's say, michui krovov in order to prevent the kishkis from spoiling, even though when you get down to it, those are not tzorach gavoya. The kishkis are something that are going to be eaten by the people, and yet you're allowing it. So that's after Shechita. Lo yidchu machshir mitzvah shel lifnei Shechita es haShabbos. Shouldn't it be a kal vachomer that the ones that are before the Shechita, which are necessary in order for the Shechita to happen in the first place, shouldn't those be doicha Shabbos? Tosfos, by the way, disagrees with Rashi about the definition of machshir mitzvah shlacha Shechita. Rashi had said it means michui krovav, but Tosfos says maybe that's not a very good proof, because, okay, those you can do on Shabbos because it was impossible to do them before Shabbos. How do you prove from that to, for example, carrying the korban where you could have done it before Shabbos? So therefore, Tosfos says, no, what we're talking about is the burning of the fat on the Mizbeach. After all, that doesn't have to be Deicha Shabbos. We said yesterday we do it on Shabbos because Chaviva Mitzvah Vashaita, because doing a mitzvah in its proper time is a precious thing, but is that really reason enough all by itself to be Mechalel Shabbos to do it? And yet we see that we do. Why? Because it's Tzorech Gavoya, because it's part of the need to bring the carbon. So therefore, by the same logic, we should say that carrying it there, even though, yeah, the carrying could have been done before Shabbos, but the Hekter Chalavim could be done after Shabbos, and we still allow it on Shabbos. So that's part of Rabbi Eliezer's argument. Amar loy Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva answers him back. Rabbi Akiva answers him back by slugging up the Kal Vachomer. Demali, I can answer you as follows. I can answer your mali with a mali of my own. Im dochu machshira mitzvah shalacha shchita es haShabbos. You know why the ones after the shchita are doicha Shabbos? Because after all, we already had to break Shabbos in order to shecht. So now, once Shabbos was able to be pushed aside for the sake of bringing the Korban Pesach, then already we say that things that are necessary after that, including things that are also Mishum Shabbos, we're not going to be goyzer on them, because already you had permission to be doicha Shabbos. How could you compare that to and say that the prerequisites that are needed before Shechita should be Deicha Shabbos? After all, Shechita has not yet been Deicha Shabbos. You haven't yet reached the point where you can be Deicha Shabbos, because you're talking about before the Shechita. So therefore, it's more logical, says Rabbi Akiva, to say that you can't be at that point before the Shechita, you can't yet be Deicha Shabbos, even for things of Shavuos, like carrying the animal. We're holding about 10 lines from the top of Samach Tesamad Aleph. Davar Acha, another explanation, Rabbi Akiva says, another reason why not to accept your Kal Vachomer, Rabbi Eliezer, and say that if we're allowing things after the Shechita, even though the Shechita has already been done, surely we should allow them before the Shechita. So one answer, again, is because there's a difference. Once we already had permission to break Shabbos, namely for the Shechita, then that permission continues for afterwards, as opposed to in this case over here. But another point, Davar Acha, Shemi Yimotze Zevach Posel, because after all, the Korban might turn out to be Posel, V'nimtze Mechalas HaShabbos L'Mafreya. And then what does it come out? Retroactively, it comes out you're Mechalas Shabbos for no good reason. Let's say, for example, you carry the animal there on Shabbos, and you're being over on Issur D'Rabbanan. So fine, you're going to argue, Rabbi Eliezer, that we're being matur that Issur D'Rabbanan, because without it, the korban can't be shechted. But what happens? Then we shecht the animal, and we find that it's a trefa or something. And therefore, so now it comes out that we allowed the Issur D'Rabbanan without actually having accomplished the mitzvah. So the Gemara asks, by that logic, Yehachi Mishchat Nami Le Nishchat. Nu, by that logic, you should say you can't shech the animal either on Shabbos. Shemi Yimotze Zevach Posel, because it might turn out when you open it up that it's Posel V'nimtze Mechalos HaShabbos L'Mafreya, and then he'll have been Mechalos Shabbos retroactively. So how is that a good argument? So the Gemara says, you're right. The arguments are given over here in the Braisa out of order. Ha Amalei Bereisha. First, Rabbi Akiva argued that point, that Shemi Yimotze Zevach Posel, Uparche, and then Rabbi Lazar slugged him up, because Rabbi Lazar pointed out, by your logic, you would say that you can't shech the animal either. But Hodor Amalei Hach Demali Yimdochu. Then Rabbi Akiva continues and says, okay, fine, you're right, that argument's not a good one. But I have another argument, which is that there's a difference between once you already were able to be Deicha Shabbos, and then you can continue to do so, versus where you didn't yet have the point where you're able to be Deicha Shabbos with the Shechita. Okay, so all of those are arguments aside from the argument that we had in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva on this subject. So then the Mishnah continues that Rabbi Akiva had tried to bring a proof from Hazar, where we see Hazar sprinkling somebody with paradromal water, which is Osir Midrabanan on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So in the Mishnah, Rashi had explained that the reason is because you're being misakin the person, like you're fixing up the person before he wasn't able to eat Truma and Kodshim, and now he is, and therefore it's like fixing things, so it's also Midrabanan on Shabbos. Here in the Gemara, we're actually going to see a little further down a different reason, which actually there are different reasons given in the Gemara and Beitza itself. But anyway, so Rabbi Akiva had argued like this. We know you're not allowed to do Hazar on Shabbos. So even if that prevents the guy from bringing the Korban Pesach, so therefore, we can make a Kal v'chomer. If you're not even allowed to do that, then surely you're not allowed to. It's not a Kal v'chomer. It's a mamotzinu. Again, he's saying that you have an example of Hazar where it's a drabanan and you don't override Shabbos to do it. So the same thing, carrying the animal and cutting off the wart, etc., are not going to be doicha Shabbos. So then Rabbi Eliezer says, on the contrary, maybe Hazar should be Doicha Shabbos, the same way as the Shchita is, since after all, the Shchita is an Issur D'oraisa and the Hazar is D'rabbanan. And then Rabbi Akiva argues, on the contrary, if we start with the given that Hazar is also on Shabbos, then you could argue by your logic that Shchita is not going to be, that Shchita, which is even more severe, because the Malacha D'oraisa is not going to be Doicha Shabbos. And Rabbi Eliezer says, what are you talking about? You have to be able to shecht the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. It says, B'moya Doi. So that's the discussion between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. So now getting back to the Gemara, so we said Heishiv Rabbi Akiva Amar Hazal Techiyachola Tanya. So we learned in a Braisa that Rabbi Eliezer reacted very strongly when Rabbi Akiva made that last argument. When he said it's not in the Mishnah, he said, "Come on, Rabbi Akiva, then you're taking away what it says in the Torah B'mayadoi." But in the Braisa, we say that Rabbi Eliezer answered much more sharply. He said he figured Rabbi Akiva is making fun of him, because how could he use such an argument that's going to result in that the Korban Pesach is not shechted on Shabbos? That's a meaningless argument, because obviously we know that it is. So therefore, he must be just doing it in order to make fun. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Amar Lo Rabbi Eliezer, Akiva b'shchita heishavtani. You answered me with a joke about shchita, that you're trying to make a joke over here, claiming that the Hazar or the shchita wouldn't take place on Shabbos. B'shchita tehemi sasei. He, meaning you, should or will end up dying with shchita. And of course, we know, kilas chacham afila atnai ba. When a chacham gives somebody a curse, even if it was on condition, even if it was a mistaken premises or whatever, it comes true in a certain sense. And we know that Rabbi Akiva was one of the Asar Harugi Malchus. So, in other words, Rabbi Eliezer had figured that Rabbi Akiva is just trying to make a joke at his expense. Omer loy, so Rabbi Akiva says to him, Rebbe, al tachpireni b'shas adin, don't deny what you yourself previously taught me when we're trying to argue in halacha. The reason why, you're right, this Kal v'chomer is not a valid Kal v'chomer. I wanted you to realize that the basis of it is flawed because, in fact, I'm arguing on the basis that that Hazar is also, and that's how it is. You yourself taught me that Hazar is also. Kach v'kablani mimcha, I myself learned from you, Hazar shvusi, that Hazar is an example of a drabanan v'ena doicha es Shabbos, which is not doicha Shabbos. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Eliezer, so I made a Kal v'chomer, which, yes, I knew it's an invalid Kal v'chomer in the first place, but because I wanted to remind you that the fact of the matter is, Hazar is osur, even though it's only d'rabanan. So don't deny that, please. I mentioned the other day, by the way, what the Yerushalmi says on this, that this is the first time in 13 years of learning by Rabbi Eliezer where Rabbi Akiva had first spoken up. So Rabbi Eliezer, as we said, Rabbi Eliezer thought that Rabbi Akiva is a bit of a lightweight. So therefore, he didn't realize that Rabbi Akiva is so great, and therefore he has to pay much closer attention to what he says. After this, then he started having much more respect for him. Okay, so the question is, if Rabbi Eliezer had taught Rabbi Akiva that Hazar is not Doicha Shabbos, then why all of a sudden is he changing his mind and trying to argue that it should be? So the Gemara says, Omar Ula, Rabbi Eliezer, ki agmere Hazar de Truma agmere. What it is that when, Now, you have to consider, there's a few different cases where a person needs that, where a person needs hazah with part adam or water. What is that meant to accomplish? You can have throughout the year where he needs it in order to be able to eat truma, and then you have our case of a year where we're doing it in order to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Eliezer had taught Rabbi Akiva that hazah in order to eat truma is what's not Doicha Shabbos. The truma gufa leidach Shabbos. After all, separating truma itself is not Doicha Shabbos. You can't separate truma from produce on Shabbos, which is itself a Dirabanan. So therefore, so the Chachamim are not going to allow you to override the Isser Dirabanan of sprinkling in order to allow a person to eat truma. Rabbi Akiva nami ki oisve hazad de truma oisve. So now, when Rabbi Akiva is arguing back on Rabbi Eliezer and saying, so Rabbi Eliezer had said that hazah, that maybe hazah is Doicha Shabbos, because after all, if the shchita is, then hazah should be as well. So Rabbi Akiva, when he answers back, he's not answering back on the basis of hazah for the Korban Pesach, because then, yeah, Rabbi Eliezer would in fact say that that is mutter on Shabbos. What it is he's hazah de truma oisvei. He's using for that purpose hazah for the purpose of truma. That's what he's asking on Rabbi Eliezer. If even that is osur, even though it's only Rabbanon, then you could argue that the shchita of the Korban Pesach is also because it's the Doraisa. For who saba hazah the Pesach kamosivle? Now Rabbi Eliezer thought that when Rabbi Akiva is talking about hazah, he thought we're still talking about the Korban Pesach. So he's talking about hazah for the Korban Pesach being also, and therefore he reacted very strongly like that, and he said, "What are you talking about? Not only you said you're taking away shchita of the Korban Pesach, and you're speaking very disrespectfully to claim that I taught you something which I never said in the first place. I only said that hazah of truma is not Doicha Shabbos." Tosfos says also that Rabbi Akiva may have misunderstood that when Rabbi Eliezer is telling him that maybe he thought that when Rabbi Eliezer had said that hazah is not Doicha Shabbos, maybe he thought that he's talking about hazah of the Korban Pesach as well. So that was the misunderstanding then. So there's two different kinds of hazah: one for truma, one for the Korban Pesach. Rabbi Akiva had previously told Rabbi Akiva that hazah in order to eat truma on that Shabbos is not Doicha Shabbos, and Rabbi Akiva and now in the course of the discussion, Rabbi Eliezer is arguing, therefore, if you're allowed to shech the Korban Pesach on Shabbos, surely you should be able to do hazah for the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva answers him by saying, on the other hand, you have hazah of truma, which is also on Shabbos, and which is, even though it's only Dirabanan, and therefore maybe by your logic you should say that the shchita of the Pesach is not Doicha Shabbos either. And Rabbi Eliezer reacted sharply to that.
How can you compare the hazah of Duraisa and the hazah that's not Duraisa, Dirabanan?
Both hazahs themselves are daraisa. You need to sprinkle some of the par adumah water in order to be able to eat truma, or in order to be able to eat the Korban Pesach. And both of them are also drabanan. The one from truma is also drabanan. The one from Korban Pesach is what we're discussing. The point is, truma itself you can't separate on Shabbos. Therefore, there's reason to say that the Chachamim are going to uphold the gzeira, no hazah on Shabbos, even where that prevents a person from eating truma, given that truma itself you can't separate on Shabbos anyway. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer is arguing that hazah in order to bring the Korban Pesach, where the hazah itself is required daraisa to bring the Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach itself is brought on Shabbos, then that should be doicha. So it's not a difference of a daraisa versus dirabanan. It's a difference of, are we going to ask dirabanan or are we not?
Why do you have to eat truma on Shabbos? What's the reason?
You don't have to eat truma on Shabbos, but if you want to, then you need to be sprinkled. Fine, that's the point. In other words, you can't even separate truma on Shabbos. So we see, in other words, that we're not allowing things drabanan in order to eat truma. We're not allowing you to separate out the truma in order to be able to eat it. The same thing, we don't have to be matu yud hazah, whereas the Korban Pesach, Rabbi Eliezer, is arguing this different.
Seems to be fairly obvious, doesn't it?
No, it's not so obvious, and that's the thing. Rabbi Akiva ends up saying that actually hazah for the Korban Pesach is not Doicha Shabbos either. But in the course of the argument, he was arguing at least Hazar Truma is not Doicha Shabbos. And they, even though Hazar is, even though it's being done for the purpose of a mitzvah, so then maybe by that logic you would say that the shechting of the Korban Pesach not either. And Rabbi Eliezer says that that's a meaningless argument. However, we're not done yet. Masid Rabbah, but Rabbah says I have a contradiction to that understanding, because a Braisa clarifies and says, Heshiv Rabbi Akiva Amar. Rabbi Akiva responded, and said, Hazas Tomei Mes Techiach. Let's prove from the case of sprinkling Parah Adumah water on a Tomei Mes, Shechal Shvi Shaloi Lias B'Shabbos, over Erev HaPesach, the seventh day, with the last day that he has to be sprinkled with Parah Adumah water, comes out on Shabbos and on Erev HaPesach, Shehi Mitzvah. Now, sprinkling him is a mitzvah, V'hi Mishum Shavuos, but it's also Derabbanan, V'eina Doicha as a Shabbos, and it's still not Doicha Shabbos. So we see, in other words, that Rabbi Akiva is arguing not on the basis of Hazar in order to eat Truma, but on the basis of Hazar in order to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. So therefore, that schlugs up Ullah's understanding of what went on over here. According to Ullah, Rabbi Akiva is not even talking about Hazar of the Korban Pesach, but from the Braisa we see that he was. So Ella Vadai Hazar the Pesach Agmarei. Note, so we have to say that distinction we said between Hazar for Truma and Hazar for the Korban Pesach is not valid. Rabbi Eliezer, in fact, did not allow either kind of Hazar when it came out on Shabbos. So then, the Chima Achad the Agmarei, my time of Kaparach Le Rabbi Eliezer. Well, then, if Rabbi Eliezer himself taught him that Hazar to be able to bring the Korban Pesach is not Doicha Shabbos, then why is he arguing to the contrary now? So the answer is Rabbi Eliezer Gemara Isakule. Rabbi Eliezer had forgotten what he had learned. And Rabbi Akiva was trying to remind him of what he himself had previously learned and taught. So then the question is, why does he just say flat out, Rebbe, you're forgetting that you told us that it's not Derech Shabbos? The answer is, because Rabbi Akiva figured it's not Derech Eretz to outright say to your Rebbe that you forgot. So therefore, he tried to use this kavachomer, even though he knew that it's not a valid kavachomer, because it goes against what the Torah says, that b'moyado, that you bring the Korban Pesach on Shabbos. But he was doing that in an effort to show Rabbi Eliezer that you have to say that Hazar is not Doicha Shabbos. That way, if he mentions that point, then maybe that'll trigger Rabbi Eliezer's memory that, yeah, you're right, I did say that Hazar is not Doicha Shabbos. And then, unfortunately, he didn't. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva had to tell him more outright. He still didn't tell him outright in the Mishnah or in the Braisa in the Braisa he does. Kach v'kublani mimcha, that I learned from you, Hazar shvusi v'ena Doicha Shabbos. So he tried to not say it outright, but then, given no choice, given that Rabbi Eliezer backed him into a corner over there, he had no choice but to say to Rabbi Eliezer, you know, you taught us that Hazar, meaning even for the Korban Pesach, is not Doicha Shabbos. But originally he tried to hint at it, And he just tried to mention it in the course of the argument in order that Rabbi Eliezer himself should mention.
Rabbi Eliezer, he forgot.
I guess so, yeah. Rashi also mentions, by the way, that you have a similar thing in a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, where you have something similar where Rabbi Eliezer forgot something that he had taught and Rabbi Akiva had to remind him. So apparently what it was is, you know, the same way as we have in a number of places in Shas, we have that Rabbi Yosef had become sick late in life and forgot his learning, and Abaya and other Talmidim of his would have to remind him of it. I guess in the same way over here, at one point Rabbi Eliezer was very sick and he forgot some of his learning, and therefore Rabbi Akiva is having to remind him of it. So now let's figure out the Hazar my time of Dachi Shabbos. After all, why is Hazar not Dachi Shabbos? Mechti Tutuli Ba'almahu. After all, it just involves moving something which is mukta. Fine, you could argue the water is mukta because you can't use it for any other purpose. But tidchi Shabbos, mishum Pesach. After all, we should be doicha Shabbos in order to do it for the Korban Pesach. Now, it's one thing the drabbanans that we mentioned in the Mishnah, for example, carrying the animal or removing the wort by hand or whatever. Fine, we can say those are drabbanans which are meant as a geder, which are meant as a siyug around an Isur Daraisa. You're not allowed to carry, the Chachamim are going to tell you, you can't carry the animal, even though, Chai Noseh Esatzmai, because you might mistakenly then instead, what if you have the animal trussed up? What if you have it tied up so it's not able to move on its own? Then you wouldn't say chaynos hatzatzma, and then a person carrying it is oivran and isur d'oraisa of Shabbos. Same thing, let's say, with the wart. If you allow him to take it off by hand, he might take it off with a keli and be oivran and isur d'oraisa. Mukta is not really mukta is not really anything like that. It's not really a siyog. I mean, it is a siyog, but it's a more distant siyog for doing things that are also d'oraisa. So therefore, so it's not really close enough to any isur d'oraisa that we shouldn't be matir it. So why aren't we just matir it? Let him be able to handle the let him just be able to handle the water, and that's that. So the answer is Omar Rabba Gzera Shami Yitlana Viyaviyana Abba Amas Rishas Rabbin. We make a Gzera because he might come to carry it for Amas in Rishas Rabbin. This is the same kind of thing as we find, for example, that Rabba himself says the same thing. This is why we don't lay Megillah on Shabbos. This is why we don't blow Shofar on Shabbos. This is why we don't take Lulav on Shabbos. In all those cases, because there's the concern that you might take it for Amas Rishas Rabbin in order to learn how to lay or blow or whatever, and therefore you're going to end up carrying it. So in a similar vein, he says over here, if you're allowed to sprinkle par adum or water on Shabbos, you may end up carrying it in Rosh Hashanah. So the question is, Ula Rabbi Eliezer Nabre, knew, according to Rabbi Eliezer, what would be the problem? We said before that Rabbi Eliezer is saying you can't carry it on, they can't sprinkle on Shabbos. Even we're saying, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees to that. But knew, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we just said in our Mishnah, and also in Shabbos, that Rabbi Eliezer does allow Machshira Mitzvah to override Shabbos, even when those Machshirim are Daraisa, let alone when they're Durabanon. That's what Rabbi Eliezer would allow you to carry the animal to the Beis Mikdash on Shabbos, or to bite off the wart or whatever. So why would this Zeta Duraba? Why, according to Rabbi Eliezer, would that prevent you from doing Hazar? So the answer is Amri. So they answered, Hanimili Hechad Gavra Gufei Chazi. That only applies when the person themselves is already fit to do the mitzvah. V'rami Chiyuv Alei. Therefore, the Chiyuv is on him. So in other words, for example, let's say with Mila. We know that Rabbi Eliezer allows, when it comes to Mila on Shabbos, that you're allowed to, not only that you're allowed to bring a knife through Rosh Hashanah, but even that if you don't have a knife, you're allowed to make one on Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer says, even though that involves Malachas Daraisa. Okay, but that means, in other words, so what happens? The situation there is, the baby is already ready to be mauled. So therefore, we can say that then we can override Shabbos in order to make that bris, which the baby is already ready to have the bris. You can override for that purpose. Aval hocha, but over here, the gaber gufei lechazi, here the person himself is not yet fit to bring the Korban Pesach, because as long as he's Tomei, he can't bring the Korban Pesach. Lo yirami chiyuv alei, then you can argue the chiyuv does not yet exist on him, and therefore even Rabbi Eliezer is not going to allow you to override even a drabanon such as Mukta in order to make him fit, in order to make him that he should now be in a position to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. Even Rabbi Eliezer is not going to allow that. We mentioned the other day, you have an explanation of the Rambam on this whole business of Hazar, that we're not talking about Hazar on Erev Pesach Shechal Lias B'Shabbos, the Rambam learns, because the Rambam learns that anyway, if a person was sprinkled the second time, his seventh day came out on Erev Pesach, the Rambam learns, based on Gemara's later in Or Masechta, that actually he won't be able to bring the Korban Pesach anyway. Even though he's been sprinkled the second time, and now he just needs to go to the mikveh and needs head of Shemesh, and by night he should already be fit to eat Korbanos, the Rambam learns from later in Or Masechta that you can't do that. So therefore, the situation has to be, we're talking about where the 13th of Nisan comes out on Shabbos, that's his seventh day, and what we're saying is, therefore, so what would be, if he was sprinkled that day, then that would make it that the next day he's able to bring the Korban Pesach, but it's not all on the same day. Therefore, we're saying, so right now, on the 13th, he's not in a position to be bringing the Korban Pesach yet. The Korban Pesach is not even until tomorrow anyway. Therefore, we're not going to be matter him to be sprinkled on the 13th in order to be able to bring the Korban Pesach on the 14th. That means he's not going to be bringing the Korban Pesach now. He's going to have to bring Pesach Sheni. We say we don't care about that, because the fact is, right now on Shabbos, the Chiyuv to bring Korban Pesach doesn't yet exist on him. Omar Rabba, so Rabba says, Ladivir Rabbi Eliezer, in that case, if following this logic of Rabbi Eliezer, so again, we're saying Rabbi Eliezer is saying like this. If the person is already in a position to have to do the mitzvah, or that the mitzvah is already ready to be done on him, like the baby with the bris, then Rabbi Eliezer would say that even machshir and mitzvah are doicha Shabbos, but not in order to bring him to a state of being ready to have the mitzvah done to him. So by that logic, says Rabbi, l'divrei Rabbi Eliezer, katan bari, if a child is healthy, and you could do the bris even without bathing him first, then mechamen lechamen la'avroisi or l'mula b'Shabbos, then you would be allowed, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to heat up water for him before the milah, in order to strengthen him still further, and then get him ready for the bris, and then do the bris on Shabbos, d'ha'chazileh, because right now, even without the bathing, he's already ready to have the bris done. So therefore, so it would be considered machshir and mitzvah that are doicha Shabbos. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Eliezer's logic, katan chayla ein mechamen lechamen la'avroi zolamolei, but if he's sick, and as long as you don't bathe him with hot water, he's not strong enough to undergo a bris, then you would not even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would not be allowed to heat up water in order to make him healthy, in order to make him stronger, and then do the bris, because right now, he's not yet suitable to have the bris done, so it would be the equivalent of the person being tameh and not being able, and not in a position yet to bring the Korban Pesach. Amar Rava, so Rava says, wait a minute, v'ibori hu lo molech chamen la'avroisei. If the kid is healthy, then what do you need the hot water for in the first place? So you shouldn't need the hot water. You shouldn't need the hot water either way. In the one case, because you don't need it, and in the other case, because it's needed in order to make him fit for the milah, which even according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can't do. Elo, Amar Rava, so no, Rava says the rule is going to be like this: Hakol cholin hen etzel milah. When it comes to milah, even a healthy baby, we consider all of them to be sick in the sense that unless we can bathe them with hot water before the milah, we can't do the milah. Now this doesn't apply nowadays, by the way. Nishtanu ativim, and we commonly have that a baby is done a bris without having been bathed in hot water right before that. But we're talking about in those times that was the rule. You had to bathe the baby in order to be before with hot water before you could mal him. So therefore, the result is echad katan bari ve'echad katan chayla. So therefore, Rava says, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, whether the baby is healthy or whether he's sick, ein mechamen lechamen la'avroisei l'mula b'Shabbos, either way, you would not be allowed to heat up water in order to make him healthy and then be able to mal him on Shabbos, to holei chazi, because he's not suitable, he's not yet able, he's not yet in a position to have the Korban Pesach, to have the milah done to him. And even Rabbi Eliezer is saying, again, just like he's saying, you can't do hazah to make the person fit to bring the Korban Pesach, and then he should be able to bring it. You can't do that on Shabbos, the same way over here, you can't heat up water in order to make the baby fit for the milah. You have to have hot water prepared before Shabbos for the purpose. No, so that's the thing. That's what Rava is saying. Rabbi Eliezer does say that every baby has to be bathed before the milah. Therefore, to now heat up water on Shabbos to make a bris would be the equivalent of sprinkling a person with Kod Adoma water so he can bring the Korban Pesach. And the same way as Rabbi Eliezer says you can't do that, the same way he would say you can't do this. So therefore, the result is that you can't. You have to have hot water prepared before Shabbos. Now, we did learn in Eruvin, you had a case there where they used to also bathe the baby after the milah, and you had a case over there where they did the bris, and then the hot water spilled, then you allowed to, then we talked about boiling up new hot water on Shabbos, or bringing it from another chotzer, or having a goy bring it, et cetera, because then anyway, the milah was done, it's going to be a sakana otherwise, yeah. But like this, if the water wasn't prepared before Shabbos, even Rabbi Eliezer, Rava is saying, wouldn't allow it. Okay, so the Gemara says, Eisva Abaya. Abaya says to Rava, I have a contradiction to you. Abraisa says, Oral Shalai Mol, if you have an oral, so here we're talking about an adult oral, we're not talking about an 8-day-old baby, who did not mal, and he didn't mal Erev Pesach, Onush Koris Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer would say he's Chayev Koris because on Erev Pesach, so Rashi explains like this: on Erev Pesach afternoon, once 6 hours comes on, once noon comes on Erev Pesach, at that point already the chiyuv to bring the Korban Pesach kicks in. At that point, this person would have a responsibility to get himself a bris milah so that he can bring the Korban Pesach that afternoon. So if he doesn't, then Rabbi Eliezer says he's chayev kores for failing to do that. Now, Rashi also mentions, by the way, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, that we're going to learn in the ninth parak, that when a person gets a milah, then they need hazah, shlish yushvi. They can't right away bring a korban pesach. Rashi says, we're going to explain there, that's talking about a ger. If a ger is niskayer er pesach, he can't bring a korban pesach that year. He can't bring the pesach rishon that year. But here we're talking about a Yisrael, a born Yisrael, who just never had a bris milah. So now, on er pesach, he has a responsibility to arrange for that. And if not, then Rabbi Eliezer says he's going to be onus karis. On the other hand, Rashi says, before that time, what it is like this. You have a tomei and you have a derech rechoka. So a tomei and somebody who was on a distant journey, they're not able to fix up the situation within those 6 hours from chatzos until shkia, because the tomei is going to take him time to become tahor. The derech rechoka is at the point is that at chatzos he's too far away from Yerushalayim. He's not going to be able to make it. And the fact that earlier they could have worked on becoming tahor or could have worked on coming closer to Yerushalayim, even Rabbi Eliezer is not going to say the chayiv kares for that. But here, when you have in other words, according to Rabbi Eliezer, when you're talking about before the chiyuv kicks in, then you're not a person is not onush kares for failing to put himself in the situation. Now the minchas chinuch adds to that. Obviously has a chiyuv. Obviously has a responsibility to try to get himself in the situation where he should be able to. I mean, the same way, for example, you're not going to say if a person wakes up, let's say Rosh Hashanah morning and has no shofar, you're not going to say that before Rosh Hashanah he shouldn't have made an effort to get a shofar. You're just going to say, okay, now he doesn't have a shofar, so onus rachmana patre. But so the same thing over here. A person who's tamei, let's say for example, he should be making the effort in the days before Pesach to become tahor. If he doesn't, then that's his fault. But we can't say he's chayv kares for it. But here we're talking about something which could be fixed up on Erev Pesach afternoon itself, during the time of the chiyuv. Namely, this oro can get a bris milah, and Rebbe Eliezer says therefore if he doesn't, he's chayv kares for failing to bring the korban Pesach. So that's the spraying. So that's what we have to figure out. So v'ha hocha de gav de gufre lechazi. So here we see the person himself that does not yet have a bris milah, so because he doesn't, and therefore he's not suitable to bring the korban pesach. V'katani onush kares, and still Rabbi Eliezer is saying that he's chayiv kares for failing to do so. Alma rami chiyuv ealei. So you see that the chiyuv is that he does have the chiyuv on him. So the same logic, yes, we should say. The same logic, we should say that hazah to be able to sprinkle him in order to make him suitable. So yes, right now, as long as he hasn't been sprinkled, he's not yet suitable to bring the korban pesach. But the same way as he has an obligation to become a mol to get a bris milah in order to be suitable, same thing should be with hazah. Omar Rabba, so the answer is, Rabba says, Kasava, Rabbi Eliezer, in Shechtin Vizurkin, Altmei Sheretz. What it is like this. Rabbi Eliezer holds that if you have a person who is Tomei with a Sheretz, now Tomei with a Sheretz means that only he needs to go to the mikveh and needs head of Shemesh. So on the face of it, there should be no problem Shechtin the Korban Pesach on his behalf. After all, by the time the Korban Pesach is eaten, he's going to be completely Tahor. So fine, he can't come into the Azara right now, but that shouldn't matter. But nevertheless, Rabbi Eliezer is saying you can't do that. He has to at least have gone to the mikveh before he has to have gone to the mikveh before you shecht the korban pesach for him. Even though, in other words, if you shecht his korban pesach for him, let's say it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he goes to the mikveh at 4, Rabbi Eliezer would say that's no good. What it would have to be is he goes to the mikveh at 3, and then you shecht the korban pesach for him at 4. Now he only needs head of shemesh. Fine, that's a weaker kind of tumah. Fine, then Rabbi Eliezer will allow that. So, Rabbi Eliezer would say the same thing when it comes to a tomei mess. When it comes to a tomei mess, again, if he's on his seventh day, then it's in a certain sense the equivalent of a tomei sheretz. All he needs is it's the last day. He needs to be sprinkled with paradrama water. Then he needs a tovel. Then he needs head of shemesh. So it's the same thing in effect as a tomei sheretz. And if Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you don't shecht the korban pesach even for tamei sheretz, then the same thing would follow over here. The tamei mess is right now not suitable to bring the korban pesach until he actually gets sprinkled and actually toivels. The oral is a different matter. The oral is in fact chayev to bring the korban pesach. Right now he's not suitable yet, but there's a difference. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer would distinguish between different loy chazis, different cases where a person is not suitable. Where, as he's going to say, the difference of whether the tzibur is required to do something about it versus not. Let's work through the Gemara over here, and we'll see what that means. Now, we have a rule like this. Any time that you have something that would prevent a Yochid from bringing Pesach Rishon, and therefore he's pushed off to Pesach Sheni, then the rule is B'tzibur Avdi B'tumah. If the tzibur has the same kind of situation, then they make the Purim Pesach B'tumah. For example, if the tzibur is Tomei Mes. So they're not required. In other words, the point is we don't require them to make sure that they're all tahor before the Korban Pesach is brought. They're going to be able to bring it b'truma. So it happened. We don't know that it actually ever happened that the tzibur made the Korban Pesach b'truma. But if it were to happen, the closest you could have for it really is you have where it says by Chizkiyahu that people were tameh and the Beis Mikdash was full of Avodah Zarah and so forth, and therefore that Chizkiyah made a second Adar, which we said before the Chachamim disapproved of that. Right, but yeah. Anyway, v'chol milsa de lesa b'tzibur lesa b'yachid. Now, on the other hand, where the tzibur is not able to bring the Korban Pesach under these conditions, then it doesn't work for the Yochid either. So what do we mean by that? Arelus. Now, when it comes to being oral, the e kule tzibur arelim ninu. Suppose that the whole tzibur are arelim. Aminin lahu kumu mohulu nafshaychu v'avidi pischa. We're not going to tell them it's okay, you can bring the Korban Pesach as arelim. We're going to tell them you need a mass bris milah, and then you can bring the Korban Pesach, that happened, actually, in Jewish history. You have the first Pesach after they came into Eretz Yisrael. So they crossed the Yarden on Yud Nissen 4 days later, Erev Pesach, then... They're during those 4 days, whatever, they're being told that you have to bring Korban Pesach, that you aselach ochayves surim v'shuv moilus bnei Yisrael sheinis. It's after the first day of Pesach, so Yeshua carries out a mass bris milah of all the Jews, as it says over there. There were people born in the desert who hadn't had bris milah done because it was dangerous, because the north wind wasn't blowing, they were traveling, etc. So therefore, now they had to have a massive bris milah of everybody, and then they were able to eat the Korban Pesach. So we didn't tell them it's okay, you're all arelim, but we can override that for the Korban Pesach b'tzibur. So therefore, given that yochid nam yamin like kum mahuv avid pischa. So the same way by the yochid, we will tell him you're an oral, okay, arrange to get a bris milah, and then you can make the Korban Pesach. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say the ilay mahuv avid. So if he doesn't do the milah and he doesn't bring the Korban Pesach onush kares, then he's going to be chayiv kares. On the other hand, Tumah, when it comes to Tumah, the e kula tzibur atmei ninu, suppose that the whole tzibur, or most of the tzibur, is tomei mes, loy madinin alayu, we don't require that all of them have to be sprinkled before the Korban Pesach is brought, ela abdi b'tumah, rather they can make it b'tumah, therefore, yochid nami potter, so therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say, that if the yochid can't be sprinkled with parah aduma water before the Pesach is brought, then he's going to be potter. So therefore Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that if the Shvi Shaloi comes out on Erev Pesach, since we see that the tzibur is potter, that if the tzibur was in such a situation, they would be able to bring the Pesach b'tumah. So fine, the yochid can't bring the Pesach b'tumah, but we're not going to be mechayvim kares for the fact that he didn't get hazal done that day. On the other hand, Arelus, we're going to tell him that you have to get a bris milah. Now, obviously, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, then he can't get the bris milah on that day. So then, fine, we're not going to be mechayivim kares for that, because then a milah shaloi bizmana is not doicha Shabbos. So then there's no choice in the matter. We can't be mechayivim kares for that. But to be sprinkled with paradoma water, we would say that we would say So Arelus, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, then we can't be Mechayvim Koris for not getting a milah, because he can't get it that day. If it was on a weekday, we can be Mechayvim Koris, because he could have done it and been suitable. And we see that even the Tzibur doesn't have an exemption for that. On the other hand, for being Tomei Mes, there is an exemption. We're not going to be Mechayvim Koris. So therefore, if it's on Shabbos, we're still going to uphold the Issur D'Rabbanan of not sprinkling him. Well, in the case of the Tomei Mes, the scenario could be that there's no choice. The seventh day happens to be Erev Pesach. And keep in mind, by the way, according to the Rambam, we're talking about even more so. We're talking about the seventh day is the 13th of Nisan, which comes out on Shabbos. And what happens is, Rabbanon, we're not going to allow him to sprinkle. And even when he gets sprinkled the next day, the Rambam learns that we're still not going to allow him to bring the Korban Pesach that year. Because in general, the Rambam learns that based again based on Gemara's later on that that if the person that if the person's seventh day comes out if the person's last sprinkling comes out on Erev Pesach, we don't allow him to bring we don't allow him to bring and eat the Korban Pesach that day and that night. It has to be that the last day of sprinkling was the 13th of Nisan. And therefore, if the 13th comes out on Shabbos, so what happens is you would want to be doicha Shabbos for the sake of being able to do a mitzvah tomorrow, and we're not going to allow that. So that's the distinction. So again, so Rava had drawn a distinction. So Rava had mentioned that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you would have the same kind of logic would apply as far as a baby's bris, that if the baby himself is not suitable yet to have a bris because he needs to be bathed with hot water first, and we don't have a hot water, then Rabbi Eliezer would say you can't heat up hot water for him. Ah, you're saying, on the other hand, that the oral is chayiv karis. The difference is the oral is chayiv karis because he could do it, not only he could do it today, but We see that the tzibur is required to do it before they bring a korban pesach. On the other hand, a tmei mace and then the hazah of him is a whole different thing. There you have the tzibur is not required, and therefore for the yochid we can't say that if he doesn't do it then he should be chayiv karis. So therefore we're still going to keep the din de rabbanan that he can't be sprinkled. So if he's an oral, that's the thing. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying if he's an oral and he doesn't get a bris milah on Erev Pesach afternoon, he will be chayiv karis. That's the difference. In other words, we have to distinguish between two different kinds of loy chazi, two different cases where a person is not suitable. One where it's something where even the tzibur wouldn't be suitable, and the other one where they would. Where that even the tzibur wouldn't be suitable, then we tell him the same way as we would require the tzibur to do it, we're requiring you to do it. You don't do that. Chiyuv Karis. On the other hand, with Tumas Mes, we'll tell him, look, you should be getting Hazah, but even the Tzibur themselves wouldn't be required to if they were Tameh. Therefore, we're not going to require you to the extent that if you don't do it, you're going to be Chiyuv Karis. If you can get it done, then good. But if you can't, for example, because of Gzeira Dirabbanan, that you can't do it on Shabbos, then fine, then we'll leave you alone and you just make Pesach Sheni. As always said, it's also only Dirabbanan. So on Amar Aleph, we brought the reason that Rabba had said because he might carry it in Rishos Rabim. Rashi, the water, the coin might carry it. Dalam, no, coin of Zuzim doesn't help, apparently, no. Especially because it doesn't have to be a coin of sprinkles, I can't remember, but he's our Torah al Atomei. If I remember correctly, Yisrael can sprinkle. Maybe not, I'm not sure about that. But whatever, anyway, yeah. There is, by the way, an interesting point that some of the Mephoshim make. Why don't we say the same thing, that a bris shouldn't be also on Shabbos, because you might carry the baby? And the answer is, Because carrying the Megillah or the shofar or whatever is not even a prerequisite for the mitzvah. What are we saying? You might carry the Megillah or the shofar, or in this case, the Parah Adamah water, in order to be able to learn how to do it, or in this case, in order to be able to sprinkle it. That's not really considered machshir mitzvah. On the other hand, that we should be gozer, because you might carry the baby, Abba Amas B'Shoshet Abim, that we're not going to be gozer on, because the baby himself is the actual mitzvah, is actually done on him, as opposed to just, well, Chaynos Esatma wouldn't apply to a baby because he's not yet old enough to walk. But the difference is, in other words, that we're going to make the Gzeira Dirabba, let's say, in the case of shofar, not so much because you might carry the shofar someplace else in order to blow it, but because you might carry it in order to learn how to blow it. That's not even considered Machshirei Mitzvah. So the Gemara says Meisvi. I have a contradiction. Actually, no, we're just skipping a few lines. Amalei Rav Huna Breidei Rav Yishur L'Rava V'arei Pesach Sheni. So you're telling me that there's a comparison between the Yochid and the Tzibur. So you're telling me that whenever you have something that the Tzibur are potter from doing, for example, becoming Tahor from Tumas Nes, then the Yochid is also potter from it in the sense that if he doesn't do it, he's not Chayiv Kares for failing to bring the Korban Pesach. He just brings Pesach Sheni. But Rav Huna Breidei Rav Yishur says V'arei Pesach Sheni D'lasei B'Tzibur V'Isei B'Yochid. What about, we see that Pesach Sheni doesn't apply to the Tzibur. If Pesach Rishon was brought b'truma, then there is no Pesach Sheni at all. And also, if they didn't bring Pesach Rishon, then they don't bring Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni only applies to Yechidim. We're going to learn about that in more detail in the ninth parak of Bar Masechta. So if they couldn't do the Rishon for whatever reason, then there's no Sheni. But the Isei b'Yochid, but a Yochid is chayev to do it. Amalei, so Rava answers him, Shani Hosam to Havid like Tzibur of Rishon. Because the difference is, there the Tzibur did make Pesach Rishon, So therefore, there's no Pesach Sheni. And let's say, for example, it's true that if they don't make the Pesach Rishon, then they don't make the Pesach Sheni either, as we're going to have examples of that later in the Masechta. But nevertheless, the point is that Tzibur is supposed to have done it on the Rishon. So and usually they did. Usually you have a Tzibur that was doing it on the Rishon. Although it is true that you have cases, Rashi brings an example over here. Let's say most of the tzibur is zavim, and a miut of them are tmei mesim. So then the rule is they don't have Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni that year. We're going to discuss that in more detail later in the Masechta, because zavim can't bring Pesach Rishon, and we don't make Pesach Sheni unless the Pesach Rishon was brought b'tara. If most people were tmei mes, then you make it tmei mes. Yeah. No, because they're telling mess, Parsha. They touch dead bodies. We'll get into that in the Tzaddik, Bez Hashem. We'll have a number of scenarios about that. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara continues, Meisvi. Okay, I have another contradiction. A Braisa says, Yochol lo yehei onosh kodes ela shahoya Torah v'shalohoi b'derech l'choyka. Now, the Torah tells us that if a person is Tomei or is on a distant journey from Yerushalayim, then they're potter from Pesach Rishon, and then they have to bring Pesach Sheni. So you would think that they're not chayiv kodes, or you would think that somebody should be chayav kares for not bringing Pesach Rishon only only if he was tohar and not far away. What about oral or tmei sheretz or sharkot mei minayim? What about an oral or somebody who was tmei sheretz, somebody who could easily fix up what the problem is on erev Pesach and be able to bring the carbon Pesach or sharkot meim and other similar kinds of tmeim minayim? How do we know that they are chayav kares if they don't bring Pesach Rishon, if they don't fix up what the problem is and bring Pesach Rishon? Tamad Leimav Ha'ish. Therefore, the pasuk says, and the man. So we have a ribui that it means that it applies also to other kinds of people who could, even though right now they're not chazi, they're not suitable to bring the carbon Pesach, but they can easily fix it up that day and be able to bring the carbon Pesach later that day. By going to the mikveh, so midikom ahader atmei sheretz. Now, since specifically we're mentioning the tmei sheretz and we're finding an extra pasuk for it, so that means kasava ein shechtin v'zokin al tmei sheretz. Evidently, the Tana of this Mishnah holds that, like we said before, that Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can't shecht the Korban Pesach on behalf of a Tmei Sheretz. He needs to have gone to the mikveh first and then put himself in a position to be able to have the Korban Pesach shechted for him. The point is, Rashi says, if the Tana of the Spreisa held that you anyway, that if the Tana held that you could shecht for Tmei Sheretz, then obviously he's Chayiv Kodesh if he doesn't, because he could have perfectly well had the Korban Pesach shechted on his behalf, even without going to the mikveh, as long as he goes to the mikveh and has head of shemesh sometime before the end of the day. The fact that we're saying that you need a ribui to tell us that the tmei sheretz is chayiv kares implies that even though right now he's loy chozi, because right now he hasn't yet gone to the mikveh, nevertheless, and that in his current state you can't shech the korban pesach for him, nevertheless, if he doesn't take steps to rectify that by going to the mikveh, then he's going to be chayiv kares. So kasaba ain't shecht and rezerk and altamei sheretz. Evidently, the Tana of this Mishnah holds that you can't shecht and sprinkle the blood of the korban pesach on behalf of a tamei sheretz. The e shecht and rezerk and altamei sheretz, because if the Tana held that you could do that, even though right now he's tamei sheretz, lama leila aduri ale, then why do we need an extra pasuk? Why do we need the word v'ha'ish to tell us that he's chayiv kares? Hainu tahor. In effect, he's the same thing as the person who's tahor, because just like the tahor is able to bring the korban pesach, so this guy is able to bring the korban pesach, and later that day he'll go to the mikveh. Alma, so we see from that, afagav delech chazi, so even though right now he's not suitable to bring the korban pesach, chiyuv alei, nevertheless the chiyuv still exists on him, and therefore we're saying if he doesn't go to the mikveh, then he is going to be, and make it possible to now be, after he goes to the mikveh, shech the korban pesach on him, then he is going to be chayiv kares. Now, for afagav delech tzibur, now this concept of tmei sheretz doesn't apply to the tzibur. If the tzibur is tmei sheretz, we're not going to tell them you must Toivel. We can allow them to bring the Pesach Matumah. So we see that it's not the same, the Yochid and the Tzibur. We see that we have a case where we're not requiring the Tzibur to do it, but we're requiring the Yochid to do it. So Ella, Amar Rava, so Rava says, you're right. We have to fix up what we said a little bit. We can say like this. Rabbi Eliezer holds that you can shech the Karban Pesach, and you can sprinkle the blood for somebody who is Tomei Sheretz. So in other words, we'll do the Karban Pesach for him now. Later that, as long as later that day he goes and toivels, then we're fine. He was Yotze the Karban Pesach. And the same thing Rabbi Eliezer would say would apply to the Tomei Mes on the seventh day, that we would be able to that we would be able to shech the Korban Pesach on his behalf as long as he gets sprinkled later that day. So even though right so even well, one second so so one second hazal lamai. So after all, what do we need hazal for? La'achila. We really only need it for him to be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. Well, achilas tzachim lo ma'akva. The actual eating of the Pesach is not ma'akiv. Not that it's not. Rashi explains. In other words, the pasuk tells us the Korban Pesach has to be eaten. There's a mitzvah to eat it, but it's not ma'akiv the kashrus of the Korban otherwise. Tosfos actually says what it means is here we're talking about where he would be able to be sprinkled, and he didn't. Let's say because of the gzeira d'rabbanan, then we're still going to consider that he was in a position where he could have been nitakin, and therefore we're going to allow him to be yotze with that Korban Pesach. But let's say, for example, if he was tamei earlier, or if he was completely tamei, or let's say the same way as we had before, if he was sick or old or whatever and can't eat a kazayis of the Korban Pesach, then we would not say that he's yotze. But in this case, since in principle he could have been sprinkled on that day, and even if it's Shabbos, fine, there's an issur that Rabbanan to sprinkle him, but the point is, on a Daraisa level, he could have been sprinkled. On a Daraisa level, he could have been suitable to eat, to have the Korban Pesach shechted on his behalf. Therefore, he can be Yotze with it. So in this case, he didn't have Azar done. All that does is it prevents him from eating the Korban Pesach. And to sprinkle him in order to eat the Korban Pesach, that we're not going to allow. We'll allow him to be sprinkled, says Rava, in order for him to be yotze the Korban Pesach, but not in order for him to eat from it. It makes it noiser. Fine. I mean, in general, we're going to learn later on in the Masechta, you're not supposed to have only one person registered for a Korban Pesach. You're supposed to have many people, because one person is not going to be able to eat the whole thing anyhow. But yeah, So Rava is explaining now that Rabbi Eliezer will say, so not like, we assume before that Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that a person who is Tomei Sheretz cannot be Yotze the Korban Pesach. He would have to tovel first and only then can we sprinkle it. Now we're saying, only then can we shecht it. Now we're saying the other way around. We could shecht on his behalf while he's still Tomei, on the expectation that he's going to do Hazal later that day, or in the case of the Tomei Sheretz, Tvila, later that day. So in the case of the Tomei Sheretz, in the case of the Tomei Mes, fine. If he gets sprinkled later that day, then good. But even if not, he was already Yotze because he could have. The only thing is, if he doesn't do it, he won't be able to eat from it. But that's not a problem because the Korban Pesach, even if it's not eaten, he was still Yotze the Mitzvah. That's what we're saying. That's what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. That in the case of the Tomei Sheretz, even if in the event he didn't end up going to the mikveh, but he could have, and therefore that's reason enough to that the Korban Pesach was shechted on his behalf and his kosher. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Amalei Adar Ba'Ava L'Rava, Im Kein Nimtza Pesach Nishchat Shaloi La'Ochlav. By that logic, then, doesn't it come out that you've shecht the Korban Pesach on behalf of somebody who can't eat it? We learned previously that if shecht the Korban Pesach Shaloi La'Ochlav, we learned in the previous perek that it's possible. Amalei Shaloi La'Ochlav means V'Cholo L'Zakin. When we say people who can't eat it, means the sick person or the old person, Deloi Chazi, they're completely unsuitable to eat a kazayas. Therefore, we're saying if you had them in mind, then it's possible. Aval Hai Michza Chazi, here he is in fact suitable to eat from the Korban Pesach. Tekuni Hu Delei Misakin, he didn't make the effort to go and do what needed to be done in order for him to be fixed up to be able to eat from it. But at the time when it was shechted, he was in principle somebody who could that night eat from it. So therefore, it's good enough, and therefore the Korban is not possible on that basis. Now, obviously, if there were other people registered with the Korban Pesach, where they don't have this problem in the first place, then there's no problem anyway, because La'Ochlav, V'Shaloi La'Ochlav, we learned before, is kosher. If you have in mind people who can't eat it, and people who can't eat it, then it's fine. But we're saying, even if all of them were in this position, So it could conceivably end up that none of them tovel, or none of them get sprinkled, or whatever, and none of them can eat the Korban Pesach. Nevertheless, they're still considered oichlov because they were people who, in principle, could have been able to eat from it that night if they had gone to mikveh or if they had gotten sprinkled. Well, they're over now on the issue of noser, but they're failing to do the mitzvah saseh of ochlos abasa balayla azeb, eating the korban pesach. But we can't be mechayev koris them for that because they did a korban pesach was brought on their behalf. Okay, we said in the Mishnah klal omer Rabbi Akiva had said a general rule that things for the mitzvah that could have been done before Shabbos can't break Shabbos for them, but the shchita itself, which you have to do on Shabbos, is doicha Shabbos. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, halacha k'Rav Akiva. So the halacha is like Rav Akiva. So only the shchita and a couple of other things that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the michui krovav or whatever, are doicha Shabbos, but not carrying it and not washing out the kishkis and so forth. Tosfos points out, by the way, that in some places when we have something like that, the Gemara asks why we passing something that we only need for when Mashiach comes. Here, the Gemara doesn't ask that. Because, as we're going to say, it's Negea nowadays also. It's Negea, for example, for Milah on Shabbos. Well, that's not the point. The point is, usually we say that we don't have to paskin things for Mashiach's time because the Sanhedrin will paskin it. But here it has implications for nowadays also. For example, for Bris Milah on Shabbos, therefore it's reasonable to you. Now we learn a similar concept when it comes to Mila. We learned in Masech the Shabbos. Klal Omer Rav Akiva. There also Rav Akiva gave a general rule. Kol melacha she'efshal asoisim erev Shabbos ain't a deiches Shabbos. Any melacha for the Mila, for example, heating up hot water that we said before, bringing a knife, making a knife, etc. All those could have been done before Shabbos. Ain't a deiches Shabbos. Those things do not override Shabbos. Mila she'efshal asoisim erev Shabbos. The Mila itself, which can't be done before Shabbos, deiches Shabbos, then it's deiches Shabbos. But Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav halacha k'Rav Akiva. There also Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, the halacha is like Rav Akiva. Now, why does he have to tell us in both places that the halacha is like Rav Akiva? So the Gemara says, "Tzricha, we need both of them." The Iyashmin and Gavet Pesach. If we were only told that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva as far as the Korban Pesach, you would say, "Hosam dehu machshude mitzvah lo dochu Shabbos." Because of, you know why machshude mitzvah are not docha Shabbos? Because Pesach is less important than Mila. B'shum de lo nifus ualeh shloish asir brisis. You don't have 13 brisis in connection with the Korban Pesach like you do with Bris Mila. 13 times in Parshas Lech Lecha, when the Eibishter is talking with Avraham Avinu about Mila, 13 times there he uses the word bris. The mimer that we say at Bris Mila talks about the deeper idea behind it, that connects with the Yud Gimel Midas Hanachmim, etc. The point is, Mila is very important because of that. So Avon Mila de Nichusela Shloish Asir Brises, but Mila, where you have it so important that 13 Brises were made on it, Emel Lidchi, maybe even Machshire Mila should be Doicha Shabbos to make it possible for the Bris to be done on Shabbos. The Iyashmin and Mila, so therefore, Emel Litchi, so you would think it should be pushed off. Therefore, we have to be told that even by Mila, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. The Iyashmin and Mila, that you can't do these things. You can only do the Mila itself on Shabbos, but not, for example, bringing the knife or making the knife or heating up the hot water or whatever. Yeah. On the Iyashmin and Mila, on the other hand, if Rabbi Yehuda Omer Rav had told us only that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, when it comes to Mila, you would say, Hosam hu d'machshire mitzvah le'dochu Shabbos, the lecha kares, because after all, there's no kares involved. Yes, there is kares for not doing Mila, but that's only the person themselves. If they go through their whole life and don't have a Bris Mila, then they get kares. But the baby themselves is not chayav kares. The father is not chayav kares for delaying the Bris, because the chi of kares is not on him in the first place. He's not the one who needs a Bris. So there's no kares involved in pushing off the Bris. Aval Pesach de ikar kares, but failing to bring the Korban Pesach, there is a chi of kares. Emel lidchi. You would argue that maybe the halacha shouldn't be like Rabbi Akiva. Maybe we should be able to carry the animal there, because otherwise he's failing to bring the Korban Pesach and it's going to be Chayev Karis. Tzricha, therefore we need both of them. Therefore we need in both cases to be told that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. That's the thing. Korban Pesach, a person doesn't bring the Korban Pesach, they're Chayev Karis. In general, a person, and so we said before, if you have cases where he's not suitable to bring the Korban Pesach, we said, fine, not always is it going to be Chayav Kares for that. We said before, on Amud Aleph, that Rashi had said, let's say, for example, he's far away from Yerushalayim, Pesach morning, he's not obligated at that point to try and come closer to Yerushalayim in order that he'll be able to get there by Shkia. You can't be Chayav Kares for that. That's what the Pesach says. He's B'derech R'choika. But, But let's say, for example, we said as far as the oral, we said at least according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the oral, yes, we are going to be mechayiv him kares if he doesn't take care of that on Erev Pesach so that he can bring the carbon Pesach. And similarly, in general, when a person is able to bring the Pesach Rishon and they don't, then they can be chayiv kares for it. We're going to get into the details later on in the ninth paragraph. We're going to talk about the details. When is the person a chayiv kares? Does it depend whether it was a shogeg, b'mezid, etc., etc.? We'll get into that, but... The point is, in other words, there is a chiyuv kares for failing to bring the carbon Pesach. So therefore, you could have argued that, let's say, for example, let's allow him to remove the wart from this animal, otherwise he can't bring a carbon Pesach at all, and there's kares involved, as opposed to, if we don't do the bris milah on the baby today, okay, so we'll do it tomorrow, there's no chiyuv kares involved. So therefore, you could have argued that in that sense, Pesach is more serious than Mila. And maybe therefore we should allow it, and we're still saying that Rabbi Akiva doesn't allow it, and we're still saying the halacha is like him. That's halacha, is the bottom line, is the shchita of the Korban Pesach, and certain other malachas that are done afterwards. For example, we said the sprinkling of the blood, which is also derabbanan, the burning of the fat, which is an issur d'oraisa, the michui kravav, which might also be an issur derabbanan. Those kinds of things are all essential for the Korban, and those are all the shchita itself couldn't have been done before Shabbos, therefore they're derech Shabbos, but not carrying the animal there. Not taking off the wart, and not, for example, washing out the kishkis, which that can wait till after Shabbos. They're not going to spoil in that short amount of time. So you're allowed to press it out, right? So you're allowed to do the michui kravav, which we said means either making a hole in them to get the waste out, or pressing out the mucus on them. That you're allowed to, because that's essential. If you don't do that, they're going to spoil before the end of Shabbos. Yeah. Okay. Everyone.